Welcome to the Diamond Mind Transformation Radio Show with your host, Greg Dwyer, on Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check out Greg by clicking on the Diamond Mind Transformation Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. You can go to the Diamond Mind Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio directly by going to www.buildingfortunesradio.com/Greg Dwyer. Greg Dwyer is a successful pastor, business owner, sales trainer, and lifestyle coach. Greg's early passion for magic adds to his effectiveness in training others. Greg has trained and coached thousands of people in his career, and you're in for a treat when you work with Greg. Whether you're taking his NLP training or going on a Diamond Mind Transformation travel tour on another continent, you'll enjoy Greg's effective technique. Check out his website on www.gregdwyer.com. And now on to our show with Greg Dwyer. Take it away, Greg.
Okay, we're here today at 5 o'clock. Today is the 13th of September. You know, we have a problem, and I think we know what the problem is. The problem is we think that our subjective reality is really true. Whatever we perceive, whatever we feel, we actually believe that that is objective. And the truth be told, it's not. If you've ever been in a room or just with someone else and you've experienced negative feelings and the other person that you're with doesn't, you realize that your perception is really the problem. And because of it, we have a tendency of messing ourselves up. You know, my mom used to say this when I was a kid, and I think if she was alive today, she'd be saying the same thing. You're making a mountain out of a molehill. And we know what that means. You know, we're seeing something, we're witnessing something, we're experiencing something, and we are blowing it out of proportion. I think imagination is great. In fact, one of my good friends, James Mapes, wrote a book on imagination. And imagination can really help you to create a wonderful life. It also can help you create a lousy life if you allow your imagination to run amok. The problem is we subjectively think that what we're experiencing is absolutely true. And you probably have experienced this before. Someone says they're going to meet you at 4 o'clock. They're late. It's 4:15. Maybe you wait around at 4:30. Or they're just supposed to come home, you know, for dinner maybe. And all of a sudden they don't come home and you just start making up stories subjectively. Now, I'm going on 58 years old. I'm a master at this. You're probably a master at this as well. Something happens, and we create a story, and a lot of times it's a negative story. It's not positive. In fact, I saw something on Facebook the other day. I don't remember the quote exactly, so I don't want to get into it. But it had to do with how you perceived reality. When you looked at it, you could read it either one of two ways. You could read it in a very positive way or in a very negative way. And when I first looked at it, I thought, oh, that's like really negative. It's like you don't matter, right? And then I looked at it, I stepped back, and I said, wait a minute. You know, what's up with this? There's got to be a trick to this, or what is the motive for putting up? Why would somebody put up a sign like this? You know what I mean? This is one of the first questions I said. And then when I looked at it, I said, no, you know what? There's another way to read this. Your life does matter, right? So I posted. I said, you know, it all depends on your perception. It all depends on how you construct reality. And I posted that, and a woman jumped in. I think her name was Betsy. She jumped in, and she said, you know, thank you so much. This is the greatest lesson I learned today, that it's all how you see things. And I jumped in. I said, listen, you know, be kind to yourself. We have a tendency, and I think we're wired this way. We're wired for survival, right? And so what happens is we're looking for the negativity. We're looking for the tiger. We're looking, if you live in the Litchfield Hills, you're looking for the bear, right? You're looking for the thing that's wrong. That's how we've been trained, because our brain is there to help us to survive, not necessarily to thrive and to see things perfectly. So the problem is we think our subjective reality is absolutely true. And I think the more you talk to other people, the more you reflect, the more you just think about this, you realize that it's not that way. So, could there be another way to think about things? I mean, would it be possible to say, you know what, I'm using my imagination here. I am talking myself into a frenzy. Is it possible that there is another way of thinking about things? I remember years ago, I think it was New Jersey, and I was at a Tony Robbins event, and we were doing a fire walk, and I was actually staffing the event, and another gentleman, a friend of mine, was staffing the event. And I don't remember the circumstances, but I remember going down into the fire walk. They do the fire walk the first night where you take off your shoes and you walk on some fire coals, you know, as a metaphor for facing your fear, you know. And I remember with myself and this guy walking around in a darkened garage area really late at night, like midnight. And I remember thinking to myself, well, this is the way it is. And then I recognized that this other guy that was with me did not have that mindset at all. I mean, he didn't think at all that way. And I thought, wow, this is interesting. So is it possible that we can think differently? And that's really the question I want to pose today is it possible that we can change the way we look at things? And we've probably heard it before. When we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. It's like being at a party, you know, and maybe there's a fight going on in the room or a disagreement in the room, but all you have to do is go into another room and people are laughing and having a good time. You know, when people leave that party, maybe the next day they talk about it, and some people would say, oh, that was a terrible party. Other people would say, no, it was a great party. We can say the same thing about a sermon. We can say the same thing about a movie. We could say the same thing about a conversation. We could say the same thing about a person, you know. When it comes to identity, we could say, oh, this is a great person, he's a giving person, she's a giving person, or that kind of person. And then another person could say, no, I look at it totally different. And with that, they would each have reference points to back up their decision. Take an example for the election that's coming up here in the United States in about 6 weeks or so, 7 weeks or so, right? You have people that say this about this candidate, and you have people that say this about this candidate. And they all have a story, and they have backed up their story with emotional reference points, subjective reference points. He's a liar. She's a liar. This is the way it is. Have you ever won an argument with anybody over politics or over a person's subjective reality concerning a candidate? Have you ever gotten into a conversation with somebody on Facebook or in person and they go, you know what? You got a point. I never thought about it that way. I think I might change my mind, and I think I might even change my vote come November. It's unheard of, most likely, right? We have a tendency of making decisions and then backing them up with logic, right? So it's very difficult. Once you make a decision to change your mind publicly, you know, if you put the Biden sign in your lawn or on your lawn, or you put a Trump sign on your lawn, and you have a conversation with somebody and they have all these arguments to show you that you're not really thinking correctly, it's very unlikely you're going to take that lawn sign out of the front yard and change it. Because we want to stay consistent. Now, here's the rub, and here's the thing that's the challenge. What that means is we lock ourselves in to a subjective reality about everything, about ourselves, about the people in our lives, about reality in general. We have this subjective story. And because we love consistency and we don't necessarily want to change our mind, once we make up our mind, it's difficult for us to change our mind. Now, that can be great if we're talking about grit and we're talking about persistence and going after your dream, you know, you never, never give up, right? But it also can work as a double-edged sword against you in that if you have a negative outlook, right, you have a tendency to look for reference points that confirm that negativity. So the problem is really us. It's our subjective way of looking at things. Is it possible? Is it possible to look at things differently and to change your mind? Yes, there's always hope. I think there's always hope. You know, St. Paul in the scriptures, he talks about the fact when he was a child, he thought one way, and then as he got older, he thought differently. So, it's possible that we can grow. It's possible that we can be open to other perceptions and other realities. But it does take courage. Now, what are the stakes if we don't change? Like, think about it. Here's the choices that we have, if you really think about it. We either can do one of two things. We can either live our life in reaction to what happens to us, or we can be responsible. There's a big difference. Now, I will tell you, we all have a lizard brain. We have this, you know, part of our brain that automatically reacts, and I think it's a good thing. If you're walking on the street and a bus comes close to you, you're going to get out of the way. You're not thinking about it. It's just going to happen. So I don't think there's a way to stop reacting. In fact, I remember when I was reading emotional intelligence many years ago, and I came across this concept of the amygdala. I went, oh, wow, I guess I'm not crazy after all. So there's this part of your brain that makes you react automatically. It speeds up your heartbeat, causes you to get into fear, fight and flight, all of that stuff. I don't think you want that to go away. And I think, you know, only psychopaths are the type of people that don't react at all. We're not talking about reacting. We're talking about being responsible. If it happens, it happens. You know, maybe the glass falls and breaks, but maybe you don't have to act crazy about it, you know, even though it might be a gift that someone gave you or something you picked up on your trip to Italy last year. Who knows? But there's a difference between living a life of complete reaction, which means you're not in control at all. Like, whatever happens out there in the environment is going to trigger you to act a certain way. The other extreme is to be able to manage it, to go through the reaction. I'm not saying you're going to ignore that, but you're going to live a life that is more responsible. You're going to choose your battles, right? You're going to choose the way you react to people. this happens to me a lot. You know, I'm a public figure. I work in church work. And a lot of times, or sometimes I should say, people say things and they're looking for my reaction. And I've learned to be very cautious about it. Sometimes I share my thoughts. Sometimes I don't share my thoughts. Sometimes I think it's appropriate just to be silent about it. So that comes, I think, with wisdom. So I think what's at stake here in our personal life as we filter reality is, are we going to learn to be responsible? Are we going to be responsible, or are we always going to be in a place of reaction? Now, I love the concept of responsibility. Now, I will tell you, I never always thought that way. When I thought of responsible, I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to be responsible. But when you think about what the word means, it literally means that you have the control to be able to respond in a certain way. If you don't have your act together, and you know, you don't have a place to lay your head, and you don't have water, and you don't have food, wow, you're really on the end of the stick that is constantly reacting. You're looking for food, you're looking for a place to sleep, you're looking for, you know, money, looking for all of these necessities. But when you become responsible, and maybe you buy a house, or you get a rental, or you get a condo, or whatever, and you start taking responsibility for paying your bills, the more responsibility you take on, the more responsibility you're going to get, right? So responsibility is a good thing, and that's why I'm talking about responsibility in that way, because you might subjectively hear the word responsibility and thought, oh my gosh, I don't want any more responsibility. But really what responsibility is the ability to respond. So here's some things that can happen if we don't really learn this. Number one, bad things are going to happen, right? If you just look at the environment, you're going to have days that rain. You're going to have people that disappoint you. Things are not going to go according to the way you think they should go, right? It's inevitable. I mean, there's no way that every single day and every week and every month and everything that you touch. I mean, look at what's going on right now, 2020. I mean, it seems to be a disaster. A friend of mine who's been on my television show a few times posted the other day on Facebook that he just wants to put his head in the sand. He just wants this year to go away. You know, he doesn't want to face it. But the truth is, bad things happen. You know, people die, people get sick, people lose jobs, marriages fall apart. You can't stop it. But we can get control on how we perceive reality. I remember years ago I came across this concept, and it's called MSU University. M stands for make, S, stuff, U, up. And the idea is that we have a tendency of making stuff up. Bad things happen, but we have a tendency of making them worse. Making them worse. And it really shouldn't be that way. We should be able to catch ourselves. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to give you an example of four groups of people that saw something differently, and they were able to catch themselves to change the way they responded. But we'll do that in 1 minute. Hold on 1 second.
You've been listening to the Diamond Mind Transformation Radio Show, brought to you by Greg Dwyer on buildingfortunesradio.com. This special segment can be heard again with almost any device by going to buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. You can also go to the Diamond Mind Transformation Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio directly by going to www.buildingfortunesradio.com/Greg Dwyer. Greg Dwyer is a successful pastor, business owner, sales trainer, and lifestyle coach. Greg's early passion for magic adds to his effectiveness in training others. Check out Greg for some fun and fantastic experiences. He has free material and his full product line on www.gregdwyer.com. On gregdwyer.com, you'll also enjoy everything from sales and business training to traveling to other continents with Greg. His style is fun, refreshing, and magical. Thanks for listening to Diamond Mind Transformation Radio Show with Greg Dwyer. And now, back to our show. Take it away, Greg.
Okay, so I have a part of a book that I want to share with you. I've been reading this book called Uproar, and there's a story in it that's true. I've heard the story before, but I have never read it before. I've heard other people talk about it in speakers and authors, but I actually came across the paragraph in this book, and I wanted to share it with you because it just goes to show how subjective reality is indeed subjective. So this was in Israel. I don't know the year. I don't think it really matters. They had four groups. They had four groups, army groups. And if you know anything about Israel, been there like 9 or 10 times, you have to volunteer. You're drafted into the military, right? So they had four groups, and this was an experiment. They had four groups. We're going to call it 1, 2, 3, 4. Each group, army people, maybe there was 25, 30 in each group. I don't know. They had to go 25 miles. They had to run 25 miles. Now, from my house to the lake and back, it's like 4. I don't even know if I could do 25 miles. I'm sure I could, but, you know, it's going to take me time. But each group was told different things, right? They all did 25 miles, every single one of them. So group 1, 2, 3, and 4. They all did 25 miles, every single one of them. Now, each group was separated. They couldn't communicate with each other. So group 1 was by itself, group 2 was by itself, 3 and 4. Now, group 1 was told straight up, you guys are going to get up tomorrow, 9 o'clock, you're going to run, you're going to walk 25 miles, okay? So just be prepared, that's what's going to happen, all right? So get a good night's sleep, don't stay out too late, you're going to walk or you're going to run 25 miles. Now, they got up that morning, and they did the 25 miles. Now, along the way, the officers were able to tell them, hey, you did 5 miles, you got 20 to go. Hey, pretty cool. Hey, you did 10 miles, you got 10 to go. You're halfway there, man. You're good, all right? So what they found out with this group that knew what was going to happen, and they were also given marks along the way, hey, you got 5 miles in, you got 10 miles in. Hey, guess what? You got 20 miles in. You only got 5 to go. Come on, you can do it. These people all had the same boots, the same uniform, the same backpack on, but group 1 had little stress, had hardly any stress at all, right? None, really like none. You know, maybe, all right, maybe they had a blister, right? Maybe their feet was sore, but emotional stress, no. And they had high hopes, right? So they anticipated the run the next day. They did the run. They were told straight up 25 miles. They ran. They were told how they were doing. Now, group 2, they were not told how long they were going to run. All right? So can you imagine getting up in the morning and someone tells you, hey, you're going to run, and you're like, oh, how far? It doesn't matter. It's not relevant. This group was not told how long they were going to run. So, now, I got to tell you something. If I knew I was going to run a mile, I'd run a certain way, right? If I was going to run 100 miles or 25 miles, I would take it slow, right? This group was given no certainty, none. All they knew is they're going to run. That's it, right? They had to run 25 miles, but they didn't know it. They weren't given markers. No one said to them, hey, you're halfway. No, halfway for what? They didn't even know what the heck was going on. These people faced the worst post-march measures. They were tired. They were achy. It was not good for these people, okay? That was group two. Group three, they were told that they were going to go 25 miles. But they were told that they were going to run more than the other group. They were going to run more than the other group. And these people were discouraged. The last group, group four, was told that they were going to run twice as far as the first group. But they stopped them only at 25 miles, and they said, guess what, you don't have to run anymore. And there was a high level of stress. Now, my point in telling you this, and you can probably look this up on Google, is that each group did the same amount of work, right? They all had to get there and run 25 miles. And the story was different. Group 1, 2, 3, and 4, the story was completely different. But each group, as a group, experienced the run differently, subjectively. So, listen, I've been in the travel business for 10 years, all right? I remember my first trip to Israel back in, I think it was 2008. We built it. We had 50 people. We turned people away. I think we went in 2009, December, right? I brought 50-some-odd people. There were people that wanted to get on the bus. They couldn't get on the bus. And I think to myself, this is going to be wonderful. And it was wonderful. But what I learned really early in the travel business, and it is a business, by the way, is that every single person on that bus, even though they're on the same bus, they're eating the same food, they're going to the same souvenir shops, they're going to the same locations, every single person experienced that trip differently. At the end of the trip, some people couldn't wait to go home. Some people wanted to go home. Some people thought they spent too much time in gift shops. Some people thought they didn't spend enough time in gift shops. Other people love this. Other people... And I thought to myself, how is it possible? Didn't we have the same guide? Didn't we go to the same places? Weren't we on the same bus? How is it possible that people saw this differently? And then I began to realize that we're all living in our own subjective worlds. Now, the good thing is once we come to that realization, and I don't think you have to be a tour leader in a foreign country to figure that one out. Once you get that, you realize that your reality is malleable, that you could literally change the channel. Now, is it easy? No, I don't think it's easy. But is it doable? Absolutely, indeed, it's doable. About 2 weeks ago, I was cutting the grass in the backyard here in Connecticut, and I got stung. And I looked on the ground, and I saw a bee hole or a hive in the ground, and I thought, oh, I've got to stay away from that. About a couple days later, I found a new one. We don't have a lot of rain, or we haven't had a lot of rain. And so I saw this bunch of bees coming out, and I took this plastic bag that I had some paper goods in it, and I just covered up the hole and went on Google and tried to figure out, what do I do about this? And then a couple days later, I covered up the bag and the hole with a blanket. And I thought to myself, you know, I wonder what these bees are going to do. Like, I covered it up with a bag, I covered it up with a blanket, and there was hundreds of these bees. I thought, do I kill them? Do I put water on them? What do I do? So after a few days, I thought to myself, I don't know how they're going to fare with a plastic bag over the hole, with a blanket on top of it, with the rain. And so I went like 3 or 4 days after this, and I reached and I took the blanket to move it, and as I did, I got stung two or three times, and I thought, this is crazy. You know, I looked at the circumstances, and I thought, there's no way in the world these bees are going to survive. I mean, I don't know if I would survive if someone covered up the entrance to my cave and then covered it with a giant blanket. But they were persistent. They didn't stop. Every single night and every day I would go out there and I would see these bees flying around the bag and around the blanket. And I thought to myself, this is amazing. And I thought, how in the world am I going to be able to get this blanket off and get this bag of paper goods off this, you know, hole and cave and this nest without getting stung again? Because this is like the third or fourth time I was stung. And then all of a sudden, I realized that next to the setup, there was a crook that was given to me many, many years ago. It's a big staff made out of wood, probably about 8 feet tall. And I thought to myself, hey, it's amazing. Here it is right there, right in front of me. Never saw it, never thought about it. And I took it, and I moved the blanket. I moved the bag, only to find out that the bees actually made another entrance. So the reason I tell you this story is, be like the bees. Don't give up. Don't let external circumstances stop you. There's always a way if you're committed. There's always a way if you're willing to be flexible. There's always a way if you're able to get out of your thinking and to challenge yourself to think differently. Now, I got to tell you, when I looked at the circumstances, I was a little negative about it. I didn't want to get stung. And at the same time, I didn't think they would survive. But in reality, I was able to move the blanket in the bag without getting stung using the staff. And second, I also realized that the bees never gave up. I mean, I'm sure some of them died, but most of them figured out another way. And I'm sure it has nothing to do with the cognitive abilities that you have. I mean, I don't know what bees do. I think they have instincts, but that's it. I mean, you have more than just instincts. You're not just reacting to what's going on in the world. You actually have the ability to be responsible. So imagine a world where instead of reacting about everything, and especially things that you can't control, that you were able to take a deep breath and you responded instead. Maybe you asked yourself a question like, what does this mean? Or what could this mean? Or how should I react? And imagine yourself being like those people that were running in the first race, that first group that actually realized that even though they didn't know when the race would end, they knew that they would get there without harm. That's the mental capacity I think that we're all looking for. And if we can bring that to a circumstance where there is no certainty, that's true leadership. That really says a lot about us. So if you haven't read my ebook, I highly recommend you download it. You can go to www.gregdwyerebook.com. That's G-R-E-G. That's my first name. Dwyer is D-W-Y-E-R, ebook.com. I think it'll help you. And I also hope that you'll share it as well. So we are looking at the time here, and I'm going to have to call it a night. Have a great night, and I hope I gave you something to think about. Make it a great week.
You've been listening to the Diamond Mind Transformation Radio Show, brought to you by Greg Dwyer on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Go to www.gregdwyer.com to learn more. And always listen in to the Building Fortunes Radio Show for Greg Dwyer as he shares information about his Diamond Mind Transformation Training. So listen in, get involved, and help spread the word. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com/Greg Dwyer website to hear more of Greg Dwyer Radio Show. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Greg and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.